Good morning. Good to be with you again to worship the living Lord and Savior. As we come to this time in the service where that we enter into sharing of the Word, some people were a little concerned at the beginning that maybe I'd forgotten that it was Mother's Day. I have not. And so I want to say, first of all, there wouldn't be any of us here today if there weren't for mothers. Can you agree with that? All right. If you're here today and you're a mother, we want to ask you to please stand. And we want to honor you for just a moment as we do that. Everybody, give them a hand. And I want to, while you're still standing, I want to take just a moment and I want to pray for you. Father, we just come to you today and we thank you for this day when we honor our mothers. Lord, I pray and I thank you for these women that are here today, that are here to worship you and to glorify you, but I also praise you for the influence they have in the lives of their children, some small, some growing, Lord, some grown. And Father, I pray that today would be a special day and a special time for them. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, as we come to Mother's Day this morning, I want you to think about the full spectrum of what Mother's Day is like. You know, we celebrate it as a time when we celebrate the things in our lives that our mothers have contributed. I've shared with y'all about my mother several times. My mother loved me enough that she prayed for me. She loved me enough that she wasn't afraid to embarrass me. You know, when the time come that I was out of line and I needed somebody to kind of set me straight, even if I was in front of my friends. I can remember the times as a teenager when I was thinking I was grown, I was a big man, and my mother found out I was somewhere I didn't need to be. And she drove up in the family station wagon and said, "Come home with me." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I'm thankful that my mother didn't worry about whether she embarrassed me or not, but that she loved me enough to know that there were times when she needed to intervene, even if it wouldn't look too cool with my friends. Because you know what? I survived all of that embarrassment. I actually, whether you think it or not, I have never heard of a single person dying of embarrassment. It's not always the negative thing that it is made out to be. But as we think about celebrating Mother's Day, it carries so many different aspects with us. There's some here today that you are here with your mother. Man, what a blessing to be able to have that time, to be able to worship together. There are some of you that have been a long time since your mother has gone on to be with the Lord. We had one of our mothers here in the church go home to be with the Lord last night, Miss Jane Trotter, about 11:20 last night, finished her journey. And so her family this morning is celebrating their first Mother's Day with a mother in heaven. And they're probably not the only ones here today that are experiencing a first Mother's Day with their mother gone on. There are some of you that are here and you look around in life and maybe you've got some regrets in the way that you were a mother. There's some of you today that deal with sadness because you're a mother who lost a child. There's so many different emotions, different things here to think about when we look at that. And so I say all of that not to be a downer, but I say that to encourage you in the way that you pray. Thank God if you still have your mother with you. Thank Him for that. Thank God if you're a mother and you still have your children, because even if you feel like you've messed up, there's still a chance to be able to change and to see things move in a positive direction. Thank God that He gives you the ability to intercede for others who are grieving and comfort them and walk with them in this time. Because all of that is a facet of what Mother's Day is about. It's a day that's different for so many different people for so many different reasons. And so as we come together this morning and we open up our scripture, I want us to look in Mark chapter 7. And this is a passage that I've preached from before. I may have even preached from it on a previous Mother's Day here. But this is a picture of a mother that no matter where you are, she can give you some things to strive for. She can give you some things that can help you move in the right direction as a mother and as a parent, as a grandmother. And I want you to understand that as we look at this passage, this is somebody who Jesus' disciples really wanted her just to go on. She was making kind of a pest of herself because she was a mother. Have you ever known mothers to do that? Has your mother ever kind of made a pest of herself? Now, she may have been really doing it for the right reason. She was looking for your best interest. But as you were going through it, as you were growing up especially, you may have said something like this: I will never do what my mother has done to me. I will never say what she said to me. And lo and behold, at some point, words come out of your mouth and you say, I turned into my mother. It happens, doesn't it? It just happens. Well, let's read this passage together, starting in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. And now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she answered him, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Now this same account can be found over in Matthew, the 15th chapter. And in that account, we find out that even though Jesus was trying to go unnoticed, looking, this was a time when he was at the height of his popularity, crowds were following everywhere, and he was trying to find a way to break away. That this woman didn't just find Jesus, that she followed Jesus, she pleaded with Jesus, and the Bible says Jesus answered her not a word. She pleaded with Jesus to the point that the disciples are saying, Lord, send her away. You see, she began to pester them. It may not be a word that some of you are familiar with if you're not good Southern folks. But, you know, pestering, that's where you make a nuisance of yourself. You just annoy somebody because you just keep on and you keep on. And Jesus turned and he spoke to her. And what he spoke in both accounts were these words. He says, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now here's the first thing that I want you to see as we look at a mother's faith this morning. A mother's faith is persistent. You know, I know of few people in my life that have been as persistent in pushing me in the right directions, but in praying for me also. But now you may be here today, and that may not be your story. You may not have had a good relationship with your mother. You may not have had a mother who was a follower of Christ. But let me tell you, that doesn't mean that you can't become like this mother. You see, because one of the first things that we see in the persistence of this mother is she did not let where she came from hinder her in what she was after. She understood that Jesus was the Messiah to the Jews, and the primary ministry that Jesus had was to the Jews during his lifetime. As a matter of fact, there's only the one time when we look and we see Jesus going through Samaria during his lifetime that he went outside of Israel during his ministry. But when he commissioned his disciples, he said, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world." And so I want you to know that the plan from the beginning was that they would be a witness that would carry the gospel beyond the Jewish people. But here's a woman in the midst of things as Jesus is training the disciples and she's following. She's a Canaanite, Syrophoenician. And Jesus is telling her, you know, my ministry is not to you right now. He said, let the children be fed. He's talking about the children of Israel. And he goes even a step further. He said, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. I want you to understand the statement that he's making here. This was a statement that this woman could have very easily taken as an insult, because for the Jews, anybody who was a Gentile, the derogatory term was dogs. And so when we look at this, I want you to understand something. Jesus really didn't speak to her in a complimentary way. But do you think that stopped her persistence for a second? Not for a second. You know, that's one of the marks that I know about in good mothers. Obstacles are just something to be overcome, not something to stop at. And so you keep going. You keep looking. Even when everybody else may have given up, that persistence. I believe if this woman had had the scripture, she would have probably quoted back to Jesus, you know, if you ask, if you seek, and you knock. She didn't have that, but she had an answer that reflected her persistence. She quickly answered, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said, for this statement you may go your way, and the demon has left your daughter. Get this picture. In her persistence, Jesus has responded in a way that she really could have taken as something negative. How many of you here are mothers and you've had something hit dealing with you or your children that was really negative? Yeah, if you've raised children, trust me, I know, some of you just aren't saying it. This woman, instead of taking the insult that was given to her, she turned that around as a statement of faith to Jesus. She said, yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the children's crumbs that fall from the table. Think about that for just a moment. You see, we see her persistence, but we also see that Jesus affirms a faith that says, yes, Lord. We do not at any point see her arguing with Jesus about who she is. You see, the simple fact of the matter, she knew she was a Canaanite. She knew she was Syrophoenician. She knew that she was not a Jew in on the covenant of promise. But she said, Lord, she said, even the little dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table. She said, yes, Lord, that's where I come from. That's who I am. But Lord, I still trust you. You see, the Canaanites and the Syrophoenicians, they worshipped other gods, but she recognized Jesus as God in the flesh, as the God of gods. And in doing that, She came back with this. She said, Lord, I can't argue with you about that. She said, I am exactly who you say I am. But Lord, I trust you. You see, that's the thing. It doesn't matter who you are, where you started out. It doesn't matter if you had a mother that was terrible. It doesn't matter to this point if you feel like you've done terribly. Jesus can meet you where you are today and work redemptively if you're willing to say, yes, Lord. Become persistent in seeking Him. This woman had faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Those who come to Him must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So Jesus affirms faith that is persistent. But Jesus also affirms faith that says, yes, Lord. In other words, when we open up His Word and we read and we see what it declares about our position, who we were in our sins and in our trespasses, the fact that we were dead, but He offers life, the fact that we don't know how to love until He comes into our lives and shares with us the perfect love that He has. When we say, yes, Lord, that was my condition. Yes, Lord, I am a sinner. Yes, Lord, I can't tell you how many times I've got it wrong. Yes, Lord, you're absolutely correct about any of that. I won't argue with you. As a matter of fact, I come and confess it to you. You see, when we confess our sins, the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us. Now, I want you to understand that even though this is a conversation between Jesus and a woman that takes place, that this can be a very real picture of how prayer works. You see, because what is prayer? Prayer is a conversation between God and His child. Have you ever had conversations with your children that went something like this? They come to you and they're asking for something. You say, well, wait a minute. Tell me about. Have you ever had your child not tell you the exact way things were? Have they ever kind of tried to slip something over on you? Well, it happens, doesn't it? They think that, you know, they don't recognize. My kids were at a double disadvantage. My girl said they didn't know which was worst. Having a father that was a pastor or having a father that was a policeman when we were on campus in New Orleans. They said, either way, I found out everything. Sometimes, not all the time, we're kind of like our Heavenly Father. You see, when He asks a question of us, He never asks for information's sake. He already knows. He's asking for you to get honest. He's giving you that chance. You see, when you confess your sins, you never inform God about what you've done. God already knew what you had done. But what He's asking is, are you agreeing with Him about what He says about what you've done? Are you agreeing, yes, Lord, it's sin. Yes, Lord, I was disobedient. Yes, Lord, there are things in my life that I need to submit to You. This woman came to that point where she said, yes, Lord. But you see, so many times we think if we confess something that it's going to be something negative, that it's going to get us in trouble. But with our Heavenly Father, it's just the opposite. With our Heavenly Father, when we get absolutely honest about where we are, where we've been, what's going on in our life, then we put ourselves in a position where that His grace and His power begin to work in our lives. We begin to find a freedom that we've never had before. Listen, I want you to understand, this woman is going to experience power in the daughter of her daughter that she would have never had she not said, yes, Lord. Maybe you're here today and there's something in your life as a mother, but not even if you're a mother, but as a father or whoever you are, where you simply need to get honest and say, yes, Lord. There's some things that you know about me that I've been in denial of. And Lord, I want to confess those today. And I want to come. And I want to ask for Your blessing. That's available to you today. I want you to know that no matter how you came in here today looking at Mother's Day, whether it was something positive, whether it was something you kind of dreaded or what have you, that yes, Lord, can change the whole complexion of the day. Those simple words. But not only that, when we begin to look at this, Jesus affirms a faith that is active. What do I mean by that? Well, do you know that there were some times when people came to Jesus and they said, come go, you got to come with me. There were some times when people came to Jesus and they wanted him and expected him to do things a certain way. You ever had that happen in your life? Man, you've been praying persistently about something. Maybe God's been dealing with you about something in your life that needs to change, because the Bible says our sin creates a barrier between us and God. Sin in your life will hinder the effectiveness of your prayers. But as you see this woman, Jesus said, because of your faith, go. Your daughter's free of this. In other words, Jesus never went and physically laid eyes on this girl. He never went and laid his hands on her. There's another instance in Scripture where there is a man who is a Roman soldier who has a child that's ill. And he sends to Jesus, he sends somebody as he goes. Now he goes to Jesus and he said, Lord, my child is sick. My child is dying. Do something. And Jesus started to go with him, and he said, Lord, I'm a man that has men under me. I'm a man of authority. And he says, you don't need to go. All you've got to do is speak the word. And Jesus commended him. He says, in Israel, I've not found such faith. And he went home and he inquired about when his child got well. And they said the time was at the very moment when Jesus spoke. Isn't that something? You see, this mother was active in her faith. When she got word from Jesus on the direction to go, she immediately stepped in that direction. She didn't hesitate. When he said go, there wasn't any but Lord. There wasn't any, well, don't you need to? Because don't we do that? How many of you, you've prayed, and you really have in your mind's eye a picture of how God's going to answer it according to you? You ever done that? We think that we know how it ought to happen. I remember when we had the first skeet shoot after I was here, and man, it rained. I remember Tommy giving the devotion that day, standing out there with water dripping off of his ears. But the thing I remember the most that me and Wesley Brown laugh about, I walked up to him at some point during that as he was out in the rain and I was standing undercover. And I said, Wesley, is this how you envision this going? He said, not at all. But God used it and added to the church. You see, so many times we've got in our mind's eye a picture of God answering our prayer, and we believe God will answer our prayer, but we have trouble believing Him if He doesn't choose to answer it just the way we want it or the way we envision it. This woman didn't come with those preconceptions. When Jesus gave her an answer, she took it. And she returned back home and she found her daughter free from the demon. Think about that for just a moment. I remember in one church where I served, praying with our worship pastor. Mark, at that time, he was older. I was younger. One day I made a comment to him. I said, you know, but you're not really middle-aged. He said, well, how many 110-year-old men do you know? You know, I was about half his age at that time. Even his children were a little older than I was. But he had a son. He had a son that really wasn't going in the directions in life that he needed to be going, a grown man. And we consistently began to pray for that son. And do you know what happened? Some of his co-workers led him to faith in Jesus Christ, and he started going to church with them. Man, that is wonderful, isn't it? If I'd been praying that for my son, I'd have been excited. Not him. That wasn't what I wanted. I wanted him to come to church here. And I mean, he was angry. He was angry because we had prayed for God to intervene in his life, in his son's life, and he had, and you could see a real change that was taking place, but he was angry because God didn't bring him to that church. It didn't look like what he wanted it to look like. This woman didn't have any preconceptions about what it should look like. She simply waited for an answer, and when she got the answer, she took action. There wasn't, could we adjust it and go this way with it? Could we move it over there? Oh no, as a Lord, I'm gone. You said she's okay? Lord, I trust you. I am gone. And I want to tell you, that's a lesson not just for mothers. That's a lesson for any of us. That as we seek to follow Jesus, as we seek to glorify Him in our life, as we seek to be parents and grandparents that have godly influence in the lives of our family, these three principles can help you get from wherever you are. See, I'm telling you here today, if you came in and you feel like Mother's Day is just a horrible day for you, you don't have to leave with it that way. If you'll take these three things and put them in practice in your life. You see, first of all, she affirmed a faith that was persistent. Not hit and miss. Trust Him. Be persistent in believing that Jesus Christ said He's come to save the lost. And listen, I want you to understand that He loves you enough to meet you exactly where you are today, but He loves you too much to leave you there, no matter how messed up you may think you are. You're not too messed up for Him to make a difference in your life. There was a faith that was persistent. There was a faith that came to a point where she accepted the Word of God. When Jesus spoke to her, there wasn't any argument about it. She looked at it and she said, "That's absolutely right." And oh, one of the things that we struggle with sometimes when we begin to follow Jesus as we open up His Word and as we read His Word, well, Lord, that sounds good, but. You ever had one of those occasions when you've opened up the Word of God? God shows you something in His Word that maybe you haven't seen before, and man, it begins to deal with you about something in your life that you need to turn over to Him. Something that needs to change. Or He begins to show you. Some people say that they struggle with reading the Bible because it really is like a mirror. It gives us a true picture. You know, it's not like a funhouse mirror that gives you a distorted picture. When we read the Bible, it reflects accurately where we are. But we don't want to accept it for that sometimes. It's been said that the Bible will either keep you from sin or sin will keep you from the Bible. And so when we begin to look at the Word of God, we must come to a point that we look at it in the same perspective as this woman and say, "Yes, Lord, what you say is truth, even if it's contrary to what I've thought all my life. Even if it's contrary to the way I've acted all of my life, yes, Lord, let me accept this by faith now and walk with you accordingly." And you see, that's how faith becomes active in our life. You see, this woman, when she heard what Jesus said, she immediately acted on it. When he said, "Your daughter's free," she headed home. Because she believed what he said. And it's really no different for any one of us. When we open up his word, and we begin to study it, and we begin to read, and we come to the point we say, "Yes, Lord, and if that means adjust to the left, then I'm adjusting to the left. If that means adjust to the right, then I'm adjusting to the right. If that means turn around and change course and go the exact opposite direction, Lord, I'm changing course. Because I trust you." That's active faith. We can say all that we want to, "Oh Lord, I trust you, you're my Savior, I follow you." But he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, if you do not keep my words?" To say no, Lord, is a contradiction in terms. If he's truly Lord, then no's not a reasonable answer. Only yes. And so I want you to know today that this is a place and this is a time when you have an opportunity to change your life simply by following the example of this mother who knew she came from in Jesus' day with the Jews, the wrong side of the tracks, who knew that outside of being a Jew, she didn't have a claim to the covenant of promise. But when she came to Jesus, she came in faith because she had heard about who he was and what he could do, and she believed. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But those who come to him must believe that he is, he exists, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This woman is living proof. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so this morning, that invitation is open to you. Will you act as she did? And say, "Yes, Lord, I know that there are so many things in my life that haven't lined up with where you want me or what you want to be. But Lord, I trust you when you say that if I come to you and I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me." She said, "Yes, Lord." And in the moment that she did that, she confessed who she was and she confessed her faith in him. And in doing that, he rewarded her faith. And he'll do the same thing in your life today. If you don't know him, if you'll come and you'll confess that you're a sinner and you'll place your faith in Jesus and you'll be active and you'll get up and say, "Today, Jesus, I will follow you. I will follow your directions." Then today can be the day that can change your life. And that's not just for mothers. That's for any of us. And so as we come to this time of invitation, I ask you this. Simply, will you say, "Yes, Lord," today? Will you say, "Yes, Lord"? Father, we come to you and we thank you. We thank you for the privilege of calling you, Father. Lord, you sent your Son to pay the price on the cross, to pay our adoption. And you have provided a spot in your family, Lord, a place at your table for us. And none of us started out worthy. Not me as the pastor of this church, not anybody that serves here in any capacity, Father. We all had to come to a point where we said, "Yes, Lord." admit our sinfulness and our brokenness, and by faith trust what Jesus had done. And Lord, I believe there are those here today who have not done that. And today they need to just say, yes, Lord. And there are some here who may have been following you, but Lord, they've drifted away, and today they need to come and they need to renew their commitment to following you and say, yes, Lord. And Father, we come today and we pray. Let your Holy Spirit have liberty and freedom here today to make this a special day because we said, yes, Lord. In His name we pray. Amen. If you would, please stand.